us, and what a hope that is. I'm not going to read the passage again just for sake of time, but let's pray for God's blessing upon our time in the Word this morning. God, we ask that you'd be with us now. I pray that you'd work in our hearts as only you can do. I pray that you'd take this passage of Scripture that you have given to us, God, and apply it to our hearts. But I also pray that we would be open to receiving it in a way that you want. God, may we leave this place changed into the image of Jesus, and it's in His name we pray. Amen. This past week, my heart has been burdened as I've watched the events in our world unfold. As we see disaster and trial and war and disease and corruption and hurt run rampantly, it makes my heart long for the world to come. It makes me long to see Jesus. As many headlines as there were this week, though, one thing that was not talked about in high volume in the media was the persecution of believers right now, and specifically Afghanistan. I'm not trying to elevate this morning one death over another, and so please don't jump to that conclusion. But what I'm doing today is hopefully drawing our attention to this reality that this week alone, many brothers and sisters in Christ went to their eternity as they took a stand for their faith. I've seen reports, received texts from individuals, and seen information, probably as you have, floating around on social media that would describe a group of people who, in the moment of great trial, held firmly to what they knew to be true, and because of it, they lost their lives. This is not political, this is reality. This is not emotionalism, this is modern-day events that are happening all around us. This is not folk stories of times past, but this is present-day persecution that's taking place in our world. And so as we round the corner to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we're left to ask ourselves the question, am I this type of person? Would I follow till the end, even if it meant that my end was death at the hands of those who hated Christ? We said at the beginning of this sermon series that this sermon from Jesus was not meant for us to take and examine everybody else's heart and life, but it's meant for us to look deep within ourselves to see if we are the people that Jesus has described in this great and grand and glorious passage of Scripture. And so it's not for us to look at others, but it's for us to look internally and to see who we are, and maybe more importantly, whose we are. As Jesus was delivering this great and passionate sermon, he was doing so to call the attention of those who were listening to their individual lives. Oh, he certainly called out the Pharisees and the false teachers and the religious hypocrites, but he did that to be sure that his followers were examining their own hearts to see whether they were on the broad way or the narrow way. And friend, that's what we use the sermon for still to this day. And so as Jesus wraps up Matthew chapter 7, as I said, we'll have one more message from this chapter last week, but as he wraps up Matthew chapter 7, we see that he ends with two great illustrations that probably many of us are familiar with. There's children's songs written about them. There's stories that we could tell that would align with the illustration that Jesus was using. And so this concept is familiar to us. It's one that we know. But I pray today that we would take the words of Jesus to heart and that we would truly examine our lives to see what type of life we are building. The big idea this morning for our time together is this. The point of the passage is not to have me become arrogant in the life that I have built, but to have me examine the life I am living to see if it lines up with the life of Christ. This passage should not have us say, wow, look at me, I'm the wise man, I'm doing so well, I've made it here on my own, I've done so much to get to where I am, but rather it should cause us again, as we saw in the very beginning of the sermon, to be humbled before a holy God who allows us to have this life to begin with. Because as we just sung, we don't get to where we are because of who we are, we get to where we are because of Christ in us. And so what type of life am I building? And who is my life being built on? These are questions that typically surround this passage, but I would like to add one more, and that question is this: what will the end of the life I am building be? The Sermon on the Mount is a call for believers to play the long game. We're not to live only for the now, but for the then as well. We're not to be consumed with what is before us alone, but we're to be consumed with the one who has called us. And so we're going to briefly dig into this passage this morning and see what Jesus has to say to his disciples as he wraps up the greatest sermon ever preached. The first thing we see is in verses 24 and 26, and that is the decision. In verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And in verse number 26, Jesus says again, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And so as Jesus wraps things up, he begins by referencing all that he has talked about. Now, it's taken us 30 sermons, I think, to get to this point in the Sermon on the Mount. But we must understand that Jesus preached this in one setting. As he sat on the side of the mountain, he sat with his followers and he laid out for them all that his heart had for them. He revealed to them the idea of the Beatitudes. He revealed to them the idea of a religious hypocrite versus a true follower of Jesus. He revealed to them the broad way and the narrow way. He revealed to them the idea of forgiveness. And now, at the end of the chapter, at the end of the sermon, he says the word "therefore," and he's tying all that he said to this very moment right here and right now. And he says, "Therefore, whoever will listen and hear the words that I speak." And in verse 26, he says the opposite. "Therefore, whoever doesn't listen to the words that I speak." And so as we understand the point of the passage this morning, we must understand that as every good sermon does, Jesus is calling those under his voice to make a decision about the life they're going to live. Am I going to listen to the words of Jesus? Or I'm going to listen to my own words? Am I going to listen to the words of Jesus and be a wise man whose life is founded upon the rock? Or am I going to discard the words of life that Jesus has spoken and live as a fool and build my house upon the sand? Friend, understand this. If you're a believer here today, at one point you were classified as a fool. You were classified as one who was apart from God, one who was far from God. And yet when God drew you to himself and you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you stopped being a fool and you became a friend because he gave you a foundation to build upon. But friend, I would also ask you today, if you're here and you've never made that decision, I would ask you to understand the words of Jesus. Not my words, the words of Jesus, that you're still living as a fool. And I don't say that to make you feel bad. I don't say that to hurt your feelings. I say that to draw your mind to this understanding that there are only two ways to live in this life. And there's only one foundation worth building on, and that is Jesus Christ. And so I wonder today, would you make the decision to listen and hear and follow? Or will we make the decision to listen and discard the words of Jesus and continue on with our life? Now, if we're honest, even those of us who are believers in this room, as we've had the foundation of Christ to build on, we could admit that there are times in our life where we get off course. Anybody admit to that this morning? Times in your life where you understand the words of Jesus, you know what he said, and yet you choose to go a drastically different direction. Friend, understand this. If you're a child of God, your salvation is not stripped from you because your salvation was never anything you attained to begin with. Now, fellowship with God can be broken. We believe that, right? Amen. And God can bring a time of chastening into our lives to draw us back to himself. And so the admonition for those who are saved this morning in the decision is to continually make the decision to follow after Christ. But the encouragement for those who are not saved this morning would be to let down your guard and to build your life upon the rock, to build your life upon Jesus. And so in this passage, Jesus is not simply calling for blind followership. He's not simply calling us to follow like the Pharisees did, but he's calling us to follow from a pure heart that has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to follow him with everything we have. And so I would ask you, as Jesus puts these two examples before us, the wise man who built on the rock and the foolish man who built on the sand, what type of life are we building? What life are we giving to our children? What heritage are we leaving for those who will come behind us? What legacy will others see when they remember you? Will they remember an individual whose life was founded upon the rock? Or will they remember a life and an individual whose whole world was founded upon shifting sand that in the end of their life came out from under their feet and caused their house to crash to the ground? Passages like this, we often like to stop Jesus. And I just want to remind you, it's never good to stop Jesus, right? We like to stop Jesus and say, "Well, Jesus, you don't know the situation of life that I'm in. You don't know the circumstances that I'm facing. You don't know my family relationship. You don't know my history. And so I'm making an excuse for myself to say, Jesus, you don't understand, so I'm going to build in my own way and I'll make it to the same end. Friend, you cannot build in your own way and make it to the same end. There's only one way. And it's through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we can't excuse our self-indulgent lifestyles because Jesus doesn't understand, because, friend, he does understand. He's omniscient. He knows everything. The New Testament tells us that he was tempted in all points as we were, and what? He was without sin. He knows the trial that we face. And in this moment, he's calling us to understand that the greatest choice to make is to build your life on the rock. As I shared in the introduction just a few moments ago about those Christians all around the world, but specifically in Afghanistan, friend, understand this. That you will never make the choice that they've made unless your life is founded on Jesus Christ. You may say, I'm strong enough in my own strength. I can do it through my own power. Friend, if Jesus Christ is not your rock, you will crumble. Because apart from him, we have no strength. We have no hope. So Jesus is calling us to make the decision to follow after him, to give ourselves to him completely, to raise our family in a way that would glorify his name, to use the time that he has given us to continue to build on the foundation that he has provided, so that when we leave this life, there is something lasting for those to see who come behind us. And so I would ask us again today, friend, will you build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ? You say, well, I made that decision when I trusted Christ. Friend, it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment decision to continually build on that foundation. And we as humans are so fickle at times. We as humans are so wishy-washy at times that we can be doing great one moment and the next moment be totally off course. And this is why we must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so Jesus, as he gives these illustrations in verse 24 and 26, he's not making it about you achieving a foundation to build on. He's not making it about you accomplishing something or completing something, but he's saying, hey, build on what I have already completed. Build on what I have already finished. And it's a decision that each of us in this room today have to make. And so what will your decision be? The second thing that we see in this familiar passage is the situation. In verses 25, the first part of verse 25 and the first part of verse 27, that should be 27a. Jesus continues on and he says this. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And the first part of verse 27 says this. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And so as we look to the situation, we think through what Jesus is calling us to do. And many people, when they come to the point of decision in their lives, will begin to weigh the pros and cons. If I follow Jesus, then this is what will happen. If I don't follow Jesus, then this is what will take place. If I follow Jesus, then this is what might happen. If I don't follow Jesus, then this is what might happen. If I do follow Jesus, then this is how it will be. And if I don't follow Jesus, then this is how it will be. And friend, unfortunately, there's a lot of false teaching about this idea of trusting Jesus automatically giving you a good and easy way for the rest of your days. That would fall in line with what we saw a few weeks ago as we talked about the false prophets. Because the message of Jesus in the New Testament is diametrically opposed to that. Jesus says, if you follow after me, guess what? You will face hardship. You will face trial. You will face turmoil. You will be persecuted. You will go through great grief and great loss. And so I don't want us to have the wrong idea. And what I want us to get in verses 25 through 27 is simply this, that when you trust Jesus as your Savior, life is still hard. Look at the life of the one who built on the rock. What does it say? The rains came, and the winds came, and the floods came. And what does it say about the individual who built on the sand? That the same rains came, and the same floods came, and the same winds came. And so what is Jesus telling us? That trusting Jesus as our Savior does not give us an escape from the things in this world. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Why is there war? Why is there turmoil? Why is there hurt? Why is there disease? Why is there all these things? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. And so the call to follow Jesus is not a call to escape trials in this life. It's not a call for us to get out of anything in this life. It's not a call for us to skirt issues in this life. But Jesus is saying, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and guess what? The storm still came. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and that same storm still came. But the good news for the believer is that when you face the storm with Jesus, you're not alone. And the good news is for the believer that when the trial comes, you still have hope, and you can still have peace, and you can still have joy. It doesn't mean that the storm's not going to come, but it means that you'll still have somebody to walk with you through that storm. And so Jesus is relaying to us that life will be hard. And we see that all throughout the Word of God. We see that in the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. We see saint after saint in the Word of God who face difficult and trying things. And God promised them, as He promises us, that He will be with them. I was reminded this week of Psalm 69, verses 1 through 4. This is a psalm of David, and I want you to listen to his words. And remember, this was a man after God's own heart. And yet, what did David cry out in this psalm? Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. David is saying he's facing a difficult time in his life. But friend, who was David waiting for in that difficult trial? He was waiting for God. And so I don't want us to have the wrong idea about following Jesus, that life will be easy and that we'll walk on a path of rose petals and that nothing bad will happen. But I do want us to understand this, that even when the difficult trials come, God can use those trials for our good and for His glory. And that's why Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And so the decision that we all must make is what we're going to build on. And regardless of if you choose to build your life on the rock or you build your life on the sand, understand this, the situation will also be the same, that you will face great and traumatic and oftentimes discouraging storms. But the difference is when you build on the rock, you have somebody to walk through those storms with. And when you build on the sand, in reality, you're left alone. And I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't just end in those verses and reveal that storms are going to come, but He shows us the end of those storms and the different toll that it took on each of those houses that were built. In the second part of verse number 25 and the second part of verse number 27, Jesus says this. I'm going to read verse 25 again. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But verse 27 says this, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so we've seen the decision, we've seen the situation, and now we see the end. And the question that I want to ask for you right now is this, what, friend, will the end of your life be? Certainly none of us like thinking in these terms, but I think it's important and it's valuable and it's necessary, and it's sort of what Jesus is calling us to do in this text. What will the end of your life be? He goes through and reveals that we have a decision to make. We can listen and we can ignore. He reveals that when we listen, we're building upon the rock, but when we ignore, we're building upon the sand. And Jesus then gives a hard truth to those who are listening. If you choose to do life your own way, apart from the person of Jesus Christ, at the end of your life, all that you have built up, everything you've strived for, everything you've worked towards, will come crumbling down. But when you build your life on the rock, which is Jesus, when you build your life on the only foundation worth building on, at the end of your life will stand. And so I ask you again, what will the end of your life be? The storm was the same that beat on the houses. The winds were the same that blew against the houses. The waves were the same that crashed against the houses. And yet the end of the storm could not be any more different. One stood and one fell. One survived and one crumbled. I was listening to a book this week, on family discipleship. That's actually the name of the book. One of the things that they were saying in that book is that we must not simply seek to have obedient and compliant children, but we must raise a generation of children who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because obedient and compliant children at the end of their life, if that obedience and compliance is not based on Jesus, then their life will crumble. But if it's based on the rock, then that house will stand the test of time. And friend, I'll be honest with you, at times there's a weight on my shoulders to be more concerned with my kids' obedience and compliance, especially in public, than I am actually with their relationship with the Lord. Why? Because I don't want to look bad in front of other people. I don't want my kids to embarrass me. Who's been there, right? We were in Costco yesterday, and it happened again. And all I wanted in that moment was for my children to be obedient and compliant. And never once in that moment did I think about the actions that they were performing and how they were sins against a holy God, rather than just a frustration to me in the moment. And so Jesus is calling us to understand that there's a lot on the line here. That the decision that we have to make is what we're going to build on, what legacy we're going to leave behind, how we're going to invest in those around us. And though we all are going to face storms, the end of the storm is going to be the revealing of where our faith was and what we built on and what we were consumed with. And so Jesus says, the one who built his house on the sand, when the winds came and the storms came and the waves crashed, their house crumbled. And friend, I think we all know somebody in our life whose life has crumbled because they haven't been founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. But may that not be our testimony today. May we understand that there's something more. You may be here today and you're thinking, well, I'm building my life on Jesus and moral principles, or Jesus and my partisan politics, or Jesus and my social agenda. But Jesus alone is where we need to build. Because if we're building on anything else, we can be sure that our lives will crumble, that we'll have nothing left in the end. So Jesus reveals that the end is determined by our decision. So I was thinking through this passage of Scripture, my mind went to two individuals, two people who Paul had part in their lives, two people who went very different directions. The first one that came to my mind was Demas, and we know the story of Demas. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the Word of God says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Demas was once a faithful companion. He was once a friend of Paul. He was once a helper. And yet when things got difficult, we find that Demas' life was built on shifting sand. And in the moment of Paul's trial, Demas forsook him. But the second illustration, or the second individual that came to my mind this week, was one that Paul encountered in a different way. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, Luke gives us this account, but he, speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, or as we know him, Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Friend, understand today that your choices matter. My choices matter. And the way that I build my life, and the one that I build my life on, matters. And in these two examples, we could look at these two men and a portion of their lives, and we could say, yeah, they were similar. They were both following after God. They were both serving Jesus. They were both helping the church. They were both doing what they were called to do. And yet, for some reason, something happened in the life of Demas. And we don't know if Demas was a saved man or not. We don't know exactly what was going on in his heart. But we do know this, that there came a point in Demas' life where he chose to stop building on the foundation, which was Jesus Christ, and he started building on something else. And the testimony that we have of him is that he walked away. But then we have another man, Stephen. And Stephen's ministry is relatively short-lived. If you read through the book of Acts, he was chosen as a deacon, and God used him mightily. And then it seems that in a moment's time, Stephen's life was taken from him. But friend, what gave Stephen the ability to stand as he was being stoned? What gave Stephen the ability to pray for those who were stoning him? What gave Stephen the ability to ask God, the Father in heaven, to not lay the sins of those around him at their charge? What gave him the ability to do that? It's because his life was founded upon something more than what this world had to offer. And so as we think about the situations in our world, certainly none of us want to picture ourselves or our children or a missionary that we support or anybody that we love ever having to face a decision to take a stand for Christ and lose their life or to walk away from what they say they believe to save their life. But friend, understand this, if it's happening around the world, then there's a chance that it could one day happen here. And if it could one day happen here, then we must be determined now what our words will be. So the choice is yours. The choice is mine. The choice is ours. To see what we will build upon and who we will build upon. The choice is ours. Will we listen to the words of Jesus? Will we believe all that he said in the Sermon on the Mount? Will we believe the story that he was the sinless Son of God who came to live a perfect and sinless life, who died on the cross in our place? Will we take that message and share it to the world around us? Will we build our lives upon the rock? And if that day comes where we're standing at a place where we either lose our life or save our life, depending on how we answer a simple question, what will our choice be? Or will we choose to build our lives on lesser things? Will we choose to give ourselves to things that don't matter? Will we choose to listen and hear, but then reject and discard the words that Jesus has spoken? Friend, understand this, when you choose to build your life on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, when you choose to build on the foundation that he has provided for us in the gospel, you will face trials, but you will not face those trials alone. But if you choose to reject the words of Jesus, then not only will you face the trials of this life alone, but you'll face eternity alone as well. You say, well, that sounds narrow-minded. But can I remind you that Jesus says there's a narrow way and a broad way? And it's the narrow way that leads to life. And it's the broad way that leads to death. As I said earlier on, we're not to use this sermon to necessarily judge the lives of those around us. Certainly, I think there's elements that we could pick out, especially as Jesus was talking about false teachers, that we know, we see their fruit, and we avoid them. But we are 100% supposed to take the sermon and apply it to our own lives, to judge our own fruit, to see if we're truly following in the way that Jesus has provided. And so this message today, this sermon from Jesus, this passage of Scripture is not given to build ourselves up so that we say, look how good we're doing. But again, it's one of those passages of Scripture that's calling us to be contemplative about our lives, to think about what we're giving ourselves to think of what we're following after, to think of who we're being obedient to think of who we are slaves to. And if in our life, and if in our examining of our life, we find that we are not given to Jesus, then this message from Jesus is a call for us to correct that through humbling ourselves before Him. But as we said earlier on, the choice is ours. The big idea, again, that we began with is this. The point of the passage is not to have me become arrogant in the life that I have built, but to have me examine the life that I am living to see if it lines up with the life of Christ. And so I ask you today, what will your choice be? And what will my choice be? I find it interesting in my own life, and probably you could echo what I'm about to say, but I find it interesting that I get so stressed out about the temporary things that this world has to offer. So worried. I give so much of my time and attention to things that one day, according to Jesus, are going to burn up and be gone. And yet so often think so very little about the way that I'm following the one who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to close with a song as Dave and Gina come. And as we close, I believe the song is By Faith. And as we sing this song, I would ask you to search your own heart. Don't think about the person around you, the person who's not here, the person that made you upset this morning. Think about your own heart, and I'll think about my heart. And examine what we're building on. If we're building on the rock, which is Christ, or if we're building on the shifting sand of this world around us. And if you're saved here today, and you find an area of your life that's not being built in the right way, friend, confess it and forsake it. Lay it at the foot of the cross and say, no longer will I chase after this thing. No longer will I give my time and attention to this thing. I commit myself again to the person of Jesus Christ. There's no shame in that. In fact, if we're honest, probably all of us are there at some way in our lives. But the question is, will you make that choice? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ and you're whole life has been built on shifting sand, and you have no peace, and you have no hope, and you have no joy. Understand, friend, the offer is for you to come unto Jesus, and He will give you rest. Come unto Jesus, and He'll take your feet that are stuck in the mire, as David said in Psalm 69, and He'll place them on the rock, which is Himself. And He'll give you meaning and purpose and hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so as Dave comes and we sing this song, I pray that we would respond as God has worked in our hearts. If you have questions about how you can build on Jesus, meet me in the back and we'll go through the Word of God together and show you how you can be saved. If there's something personal in your life that maybe is not what it should be, then friend, confess it and forsake it and begin again to build on the only foundation that matters, which is Jesus. Dave, would you come and lead us?